sort of what I wanted to do is give an illustration on our words, or like the tongue, is how powerful they are and how destructive they can be. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I don't know how I can set this up too good. Okay. So this box is going to somewhat represent people who we talk to, like their feelings, and just their, just a person, I guess. Have some pins here, and these might represent just very small things, like maybe teasing, or just maybe a thoughtless remark. Just small things. Things that don't really necessarily, both the giver or the receiver might not even notice them, but they still do damage in the whole. Psalms 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be upon their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And so our words are very much like a sword. I don't have a sword here. I have this knife here. This knife could be very useful. Say, open this box and get my tires or something. But if we're careless with it, it can be truth. But if we don't use it rightly, it can be very destructive. And just leave that in there. Things that are abrasive, like constant nagging, or just like something that is continual, can be very, can be somewhat destructive to somebody. How's that gonna go? Psalms 146, verse 3. Talking about the secret counsel of the wicked. It says, who whet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So, I have here a bow and arrow. Let's think of our bitter words. Like piercing arrows. Got a little too much penetration there. Yeah, that's the idea. Bitter words are just rough talking. Proverbs 29, sorry, that's the wrong one. Proverbs 25, verse 18. A man who beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And I had these two. Now, I don't have a perfect illustration for each of these things, but this might be something more intentional. Something you kind of, you're willing to maybe at least risk hurt someone's feelings a little bit more. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So, here's something. If you're very angry, and you're saying something hurtful, most often you'll regret it later. But you know it hurts and you want it to hurt. Now let me do this corner. And all these things can be very destructive to relationships and just to people's feelings and themselves in general. There's this section here called Conversation. It's by Matthew Hale. He was a famous English judge known for his impartiality and upright character. It starts out, "Never speak anything for truth which you know or believe to be false. Lying is a great sin against God, who gave us a tongue to speak truth and not falsehood. For there is no regard for truth. For where there is no regard for truth, people can't trust each other. The person who lies is hurting himself too. For besides the disgrace it brings upon him, it hardens his conscience so that he can hardly tell the truth or keep from lying even when he wants to. If he gets into the habit of lying, other people will doubt everything he says, and soon he himself will scarcely know when he tells a falsehood. Some people who never say an outright falsehood like to get as close to it as they can. Don't spread rumors and gossip or other things you hear, but don't know to be true. Let your words be few, especially when your superiors or strangers are present, lest you betray your own weakness. Besides this, you rob yourself of the opportunity which you might have otherwise had to gain knowledge, wisdom, and experience by hearing those whom you silence by your own rude talking. Don't be too earnest, loud, or violent in your conversation. Silence your opponent with reason, not with noise. Be careful not to interrupt another when he is speaking. Listen to what he has to say, and you will understand him better and will be able to give him a better answer. Consider before you speak, especially when you're dealing with some important matter. Decide what you want to say and the expressions you intend to use so that your message will be worthwhile and to the point, and yet inoffensive. Inconsiderate persons do not think what they speak, or they speak and then think. Not everyone is good at the same things. Some men excel in farming, some in gardening, and some in carpentry. When you hold a conversation with someone, try to find out what he's interested in and what he can do well. Get him to talk on that subject. Observe what he says. Keep it in your memory or write it down. In this way, you will glean the worth of knowledge and everybody. You will glean the worth and knowledge of everybody you talk with, and in an easy and natural manner acquire what may be of use to you on many occasions. When you are in company with light-minded, vain, and impertinent persons, be careful that you are not influenced to speak or act the same way they do. If anyone whom you do not know to be a person of truth relates strange stories, don't be too ready to believe or report them, and yet don't be too forward to contradict him. If you are asked to express your opinion, do it modestly and gently, not bluntly or in a fault-finding way. By doing this, you will avoid offending anyone. If you meet a man and do not know him to be a reliable character, don't give too much credit of him when he starts to tell you how important he is or to boast about himself. Probably you will find that he aims at something besides kindness to you. and that when you have served his turn or disappointed his hopes, his regard for you will grow cool. Beware also of the person who flatters you and commends you to your face. Most probably either has deceived you or abused you, or is planning to do so. Remember the fable of the fox telling the crow how wonderful she could sing just because she had something in her mouth which he wanted. Be careful that you don't exalt yourself when you speak. It is a sign that your reputation is small and shrinking. If your own tongue must praise you, and it is unpleasant and distasteful to others to hear you boast about yourself. Speak well of people who are absent whenever you have an available opportunity. Never speak ill of them or anybody else unless you are sure they deserve it, and not then unless you feel it will help them to do better, or unless it is for the safety or benefit of others. Avoid in your ordinary communication not only oaths, but all extravagant expressions. Never scoff, jest, or make fun of crippled people or persons who have some other natural defect. Others can be deeply hurt by something like this, and many a man has come to be sorry for mocking others. Be very careful that you give no reproachful, spiteful, or threatening words to any person. Good words make friends, bad words make enemies. It is only common sense to make as many friends as we honestly can, especially when it may be done at so easy a rate as a good word. And it is so great a folly to make an enemy by ill words, when even ill words are no advantage to the party who uses them. When faults are committed, they may, and by superior they must, be reproved. But let it be done with reproach or bitterness, otherwise it will lose its effect. If you correct someone from the wrong motive or in the wrong way, you will make matters worse, anger the offenders, and you will be but to blame too. If a person is passionate and speaks to you harshly, feel sorry for him instead of being angry. You will find that silent or very gentle words are the best revenge when a person abuses you with bad words. This will either cure the ill temper of an angry man and make him sorry for his passion, or it will be a severe reproof and punishment to him. But at any rate, this will preserve your innocence, give you the deserved reputation for wisdom and moderation, and keep up the serenity and composure of your mind. Passion and anger make a man unfit for everything that becomes him, as a man or as a Christian. Read these directions often, think of them seriously, and practice them daily. You will find them useful in your conversation. Their value will be more evident to you every day as your judgment, understanding, and experience increase. That's what I had. I guess comments and corrections.
Thank you, Brother Dito, and Nike Brother. Yeah. Yes, and I'm convicted too. All you people know me. My wife lives with me. The tongue. Two of the three things Paul says in Timothy is rebuke, reprove, and then exhort. Two of them are negative, and it is really good for that. For that admonishing, for that. And three of the seven things God hates, Proverbs, is the tongue, false witness, and sowing discord. Three of the seven. Now, subjunctive mood, Tito. If I were you, okay, and I'm not you, and bless you, you get way, you are your age is light years ahead of me, maybe you're light years ahead of me now, at my age still. I would have ended it by having some object lessons. I would get an apple, I'd get some gold, and I'd get a bone. I think you know what the apple and the gold is, right? Like apples of gold. Oh, forgive me. Okay. I can't think of it. Okay, but like...
A word fitly spoken.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold.
Right, like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's a positive thing. It's a positive. It's like a word fitly spoken. And then I get a bone. Someone tell me what the bone would do. Just get a bone up there. Brett, come on. A soft word will... Well, yeah, that's Proverbs 51. But another one, my wife was... I used it the other day, a month ago. My wife, she said, that's not in the scriptures. I said, oh, yes, it is. A soft answer will... Leroy? Right. A soft answer will break a bone. So these are the good things about the tongue. And you got to improve on them. I mean, there is a lot of negative and great lesson, you know, great lesson. And I'm glad that you shot that bow and arrow at the right place, because I couldn't have shot it. The Lord be magnified.
After the scripture that Brother Robert quoted, there's a few more that are good to take note of. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As a colt of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Brother Dito made a good illustration of what bad, negative words can do, but let's not forget what good, encouraging words can do as well. God bless.
Just add one thing here.
Can't see it real good.
Can't see it real good.
Some pretty serious Mars here, but...
I should have done it more slowly, but you say, I'm sorry for that thing. Hey, I'm really sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, man.
I'm really sorry I said that thing earlier, and sorry about that arrow. And what's it at? Oh, here it is. Yeah. That I really shouldn't have done that, so I'm sorry. Really sorry. We good now? Oh, there's some little pieces here, but oh yeah, sorry about all that too. Put all that back. Oh yeah. Anyway, you know. I didn't even know I did those things, but I guess, you know, it's just sorry doesn't. If you can see these Mars here, they're still there. Better to have been more careful in the first place.
Yeah, I guess I'd just comment. I may not even need to say this, because I'm sure a lot of people have already thought of this, but I really appreciated, first of all, what Dieter said and what he was sharing from that writer. Certainly, I think, yeah, it is common sense to try to make everybody our friends, but I think if we kind of lose a little bit of perspective on that, we could end up, I don't know, did the King James, when they use the term soothsayer, is that a term they're using when they're saying, you're telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear? So much of the job of a prophet was to tell people what they needed to hear and not what they wanted to hear. Certainly, that's what got Jesus in trouble, was telling people what they needed to hear. And a lot of times you see him characterized when after he's baptized in one of the Gospels and he goes back to his hometown and he reads the scroll of Isaiah and they're listening to him and they're saying his words are so gracious. And then you keep reading, not very far, and now they're ready to run him to the edge of the cliff and throw him over the cliff. And he was telling them what they needed to hear. So within that frame of trying to make friends with everybody, there's still sometimes words that need to be said that aren't really very comfortable to hear, but they can bring repentance or whatever. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, I guess I'll comment on that. Where'd you go? Oh, hey, Brett. Yeah. I think that's what it's talking about. It says some save with fire, and then some having compassion, and then making a distinction between... We need to make a distinction between... Jesus was compassionate on some, and then he railed on some. And I think... the natural thing for me to say is that most people tend to be too harsh with the truth, but that's just how I am. I think other people maybe tend to be so gentle that they don't convey any truth, or so careful or whatever that they don't actually convey any truth. And that's the big challenge sometimes. We have to find again that balance thing between the two. I guess personally, because I would have a problem with being blunt or being sharp in conveying of truth, that's something I try to not do. I'm always working on trying to be more gentle, but maybe there's others that need to be more more honest or something, or less. Not less gentle. I don't think there's any call for less gentleness as much as more need for conveying things.
Somebody else.